catch my bus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fun, 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 fun.
Yeah, it's a freaky holiday Friday as we head into a long weekend on the PM team. Glad you found us, Chris Muller, Donnie Football, Andrew Filippone in Quebec City, trying in vain, I imagine, to get along with everybody up there. That's the bottom line. He doesn't speak French. We tried to pump him up yesterday. He only, I think, came out of it believing in himself less. He's going to be up there by himself a lot because Amanda's on like a business pleasure trip. So she's got to work a little bit. He's going to be on his own for big chunks of time, and he is very worried that the locals are not going to like him. I'm happy for him that he is taking a trip. He works very hard, Donnie. He deserves a break. I am happy to pick up the slack in his stead. But I feel like he's going to come back looking like he went through the ringer. I have a very bad feeling about this.
I'm just picturing him there and like maybe somebody corrects him on how he says something and he just pulls off like a, well, that's stupid. Who made that up?
I know, right, yeah. Sir, it's actually bonjour. Why can't I say bonjour? Oh, yeah, he'll... Because then, like, the language barrier will disappear real fast. They might not, like, speak a ton of English because the whole thing was Quebec City is not a touristy place like Montreal is. So you would expect more just pure French-speaking people there. They will not, when he takes that basic tone and attitude, they will not take kindly to it. I assure you of that. You can text us always, Edgar Snyder & Associates, fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. So, Omar Khan meets the media today. That's kind of obvious. He was going to do that. They were going to announce him. Then he was going to talk to the press. And we were finally going to get the curtain pulled back on what kind of a guy he is, what kind of a GM he intends to be. I took away from this, though, Donnie, that you are getting, if you are the Pittsburgh Steelers, exactly what you wanted in Omar Khan, which is a very steady, like, what are they, rock the boat, you step on a boat and it displaces a bunch of water if you're not careful. No, they got the guy who stepped seamlessly into the role here. And I think Omar Khan was a man trying to reconcile two thoughts today. Here's what they were. Or two, trying to live in two worlds when he talked today. Because I thought it came off, awkward's not the right word, very guarded would be the right way to describe it. He was a very guarded individual who had been coached. He has never done this before. He doesn't want to, you know, step on his own you-know-what. He doesn't want to shake things up in the wrong direction. He doesn't want to tip his hand, etc. I think he tried to live in two worlds. I think he tried to satisfy the side of him that wants to actually put his stamp on things and does want to do some stuff differently. The side of him that says, I do have ideas on how this place is going to be run under my watch. They aren't the exact same as the way Kevin Colbert ran it. It's not the Colbert playbook to a T. I think he wanted to get that across a little bit. But I also think, and this was to me the part that won out, if you want to call it that, and as such is the way I, you know, was the biggest influencing factor in how I felt about what he said. I think he did not want to rock the boat with the Steelers and did not want to stray too far from the idea that, hey, I've been a member of this organization for 20 plus years. I am not here to reinvent the wheel. I am here to continue Kevin Colbert's work with little tiny tweaks and differences. I think if he was trying to convey one message today, the one that I gleaned the most or picked up the most, the one that came through was, hey, guess what? Kevin's leaving. He's not going that far, at least not right away. I'm just the same guy I've always been, and we're the same franchise we've always been. I mean, remember the... I don't know, Donnie, if you've ever heard this one, the old Paul Chryst clip. Paul Chryst is not a complicated guy that we used to love playing. You know, Mr.
Paul,
yeah,
is
thank
not
you. So you do know it.
Really complicated.
Exactly. Thank
and
you.
And you'll find that out.
Perfect. That was basically, that was what, like, I got the sense he was doing. He was like, I am a Pittsburgh Steeler. This is not going to change all that many things. You are not going to hear, the Steelers are not going the way of the dodo bird. I mean, he just quite literally said this. He said that, like, in no uncertain terms, that this was not going to be something that was a dramatic change. Here we go.
But, you know, he's always a phone call away from me. You know, I'm always, there's not going to be a lot of change here. I mean, I'm obviously have some ideas that I want to implement and put in place, but I don't foresee a lot of change.
I don't foresee a lot of change. There's not going to be a lot of change here. That's what the Steelers like. For the record, I'm gonna put myself on record as saying they needed more, or they need more than he's letting on that they're going to have. And I hope that having Andy Weidel in and Sheldon White in, guys who are coming with ties here, with knowledge here, you know, they're not unfamiliar faces. The Steelers are never going to be a franchise as long as the Rooneys own them. That, I think, just goes way off the board. Maybe I can't even say that. Mike Tomlin's an example of them going way off the board and being so blown away by somebody they decide to hire him. But by and large, I think they are, especially on the business or the more administrative side. So I'll even say GM, whether it's player personnel or not. You're not coaching. You're not playing. I think they are always going to go with familiarity, go in-house. I really hope that Weidel and Sheldon White are given ample leeway to shape and influence the way this team does its business, procures its talent, puts players on the field in a way that is different than what they have done. Because when Omar Khan says it won't be a lot different, this isn't going to be something that's unrecognizable, this is going to be a lot of same old Steelers here, maybe if they were coming off a run of unbelievable success where Colbert was stepping down damn near close to the top of the mountain with two Super Bowl titles in his last 4 years, maybe you'd say, like, all right, yeah, of course, I don't want this to be like a big seismic shift. Three playoff wins since their last Super Bowl appearance, which now feels a long way away. The way I like to put this is, Donnie was in the middle of high school when they last appeared in a Super Bowl. Is that right? You're 26?
Yeah, I was a freshman in high school.
So you were a 15-year-old freshman when they appeared in a Super Bowl. He is now a 26-year-old with real responsibilities, bills, rent, car payment still? No. That bad boy's got to be. I bet that's paid off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was my grandma's old wagon out
there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was all about safety and all-wheel drive. So you've got like this amount of distance between their last trip near the apex, not even at it. They didn't even get to plant their flag after that one. Three playoff wins, 5 years without one. There was a significant part of me that wanted today to hear, maybe not like, I'm going to come in here and do it my way. I don't know why that's Omar Khan's voice right now in my mind. We know it's not. I didn't need him to, like, come in and pile drive somebody through the table to show he means business, but there was a little bit too much reliance on, or a little bit too much leaning on, hey, I'm going to be the same old guy. Like, you got little hints, little breadcrumb trails that Omar Khan was going to maybe be his own man and do things his own way, but it just felt like he was very concerned with making sure people knew this is going to be the Steelers you've grown to know. And I don't know if it's grown to love as much in recent years. I just think there's a very compelling case to be made that this franchise doesn't need some wholesale change or anything, but that this franchise absolutely needs an injection of new ideas and new points of view. And so then the next big question becomes, how much does Andy Weidel get to have a say? How much does Sheldon White get to have a say? How much do the Steelers, now that Kevin Colbert's in more of an informal advisor's role, how much do they approach things differently? Do they say, hey, Omar, you really are going to, this isn't just you got to take over, but you're going to be neutered a little bit. You really are going to get your opportunity to shape this. I wonder. I think it's fair to wonder, too. I mean, think of how long it has been since they did this. You want to play the little Donnie football in high school game? I was the same age as him in this little game when they hired Colbert. I was 15 years old. I am 37. I have a kid and another one on the way in a month. I'm thinking about mortgage, car, and otherwise other payments. That's how long it's been since they have actually changed the structure at the top in any profoundly significant way. And so I do wonder, based on the way he talked today, how much of that was, I'm going to be cautious because it's my first press conference. I don't want to say anything that makes too many headlines. And how much of it's real, like, hey, no, this is actually how I intend it to be. I think this is another another like kind of instructive little quote.
Yeah, obviously, you know, being in this role, responsibilities shift a little bit. But, you know, I have my hands on a lot of things that I've done before and obviously have my hands in other things. And, you know, it'll be a smooth transition.
If you thought it was going to be a smooth transition, Donnie, wouldn't that tell you that most of what he's going to do is still the stuff he's already done?
Yeah, and it reassures the, you know, Kevin Colbert's still going to be around. And
yeah, I mean, did anything about it strike you as this is something brand new? Because I didn't really just get that impression at any point. Like, he would drop hints like, I've got cool stuff I want to do. But that it was almost like he mentioned it offhandedly, like, don't worry, I'm not literally just Kevin Colbert with a different name. And 20 years younger, I do have my own role here, my own belief system.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's a little bit more than just the, you know, the joke of, hey, let me copy off your homework and I'll just switch a couple of the answers.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it, actually. What do you think it ends up looking like? The one thing I keep coming back to this. If you compare him to Howie Roseman, because they both are administrative side guys, contract guys, and Roseman's been very aggressive in the draft, I'm painting with a broad brush here and saying that maybe he'll be aggressive with the draft too, and how he like views it as sort of a multifaceted tool. Like, because the Eagles win draft day a lot of the times by doing stuff that doesn't even get them picks that year. They're like, wow, the Eagles set themselves up for next year just all, you know, unbelievably well. I'm wondering if Khan's going to have the same numerical an analytical outlook on it. Because if you, I go back again to the Jimmy Johnson draft value chart. It's a numbers-based system. It tries to put a numerical, a hard number value on each pick. And the Steelers, I know, do not, Colbert has like, what?
Yeah, I would definitely like to see them start going more of that route.
I think, yeah, because I think there's two ways to run a team right now. You can either be the Rams and try to say, we have these generational, insane talents at multiple positions. We have Donald, maybe the greatest defensive player ever when he's all said and done. We finally got Matt Stafford, like a real quarterback, to run this McVay offense. Cooper Kupp suddenly turned into like a godlike receiver. We're going to trade a bunch of, what did they have? Their first pick was what, in the fourth round this year, I think? Yeah, I think they went all the way to the fourth round, like high 90s or like pick 102 before they picked, right? So you can either do it that way, the way they do it, or I think now that's one of the new sort of let's hack the system ways, or you can do what the Eagles do, which is, I think, and the Eagles' method is not new. The Patriots love to do this sort of thing. The Ravens do this too. Everyone says the Ravens and the Steelers have very similar drafting strategies. Their philosophies for running an organization are similar. I do think the Ravens are bolder. They've had to be because they haven't had a franchise quarterback during all the Roethlisberger years, so they've had to try and get creative maybe to keep up. They had 6 fourth-round picks this year. 6. I want the Steelers to start treating the draft as not just, hey, we stand pat. Like, I think they've defined their drafts, Donnie, by saying, we are very confident in our player evals. We are going to stay where we are, by and large. We are going to make the pick, and we are going to define ourselves by being very good evaluators of talent. I would like to see that change. That is something I would like to... And I think Khan is the one... Of all these GM candidates, I will say this. Khan is probably the one guy that appointing to that post gives you the best chance of that happening. So who knows if Weidel liked what Roseman did in Philly? Who knows if you know, Tomlin likes that philosophy? But I do think if you empower the business side guy by giving him the big title, you have a chance of actually changing a little bit of your overall philosophical approach.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be a huge change, which is what Khan has already said, but... You know, I think it would be nice to see, and we've heard the word modern throw out there a little bit more in that direction. You know, not that what Kevin Colbert did was bad. I mean, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. He was a great general manager. But
But he did this. He did do his like most impactful work in terms of the way he. Because I can use Colbert's own words here to not like make this a trash job on him. He said it meant a lot to him to put two more, you know, trophies in that trophy case. He broke down crying talking about it, and it was like the one time you'll hear him, and rightfully, toot his own horn a little bit. He said it meant a lot to him to be a guy who could add to that. Right. That was a different NFL, though, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Like when he did the best work of his career as far as adding trophies. Like, they stayed competitive, and that's a huge feather in his cap. What are you smirking about?
Nothing.
You got a big, like, smirk on your face in there, no?
No.
I don't know, man. I got eyes darting back and forth here that I'm looking at. I sense something here. No, you're just going to tight-lip it here and say
I don't have anything.
All right. Well, anyway.
I mean, all I thought of during that was... a great Triple H line. You know, I love my professional wrestling.
Yes. What did he say?
Adapt or perish. Ah. That's Evolution.
Was that when he was in the group Evolution?
Yeah, that's when he started
it. Who was in that group?
Triple H, Randy Orton, Batista, and Ric Flair.
That was a good heel stable.
That's one of the best. I mean, they have the most combined
was it basically the title
reigns
was
ever.
Was it basically the modern version of the Four Horsemen?
I think that's what he was going for, and it actually ended up being, in terms of the individual guys, more successful because they all won. I mean, Flair obviously won all of his beforehand.
So they grandfathered his titles in. That's like claiming national titles from the 1950s or something, or 1940s.
But he was like the elder statesman. Triple H was the current guy that was on top. And
so who is Omar Khan if they are a heel faction? You got anything for me here? Who would he be? Colbert's got to be Triple H, right? Or is Colbert
Ric
Flair?
I think now that, Colbert's moved
on.
Is he Ric Flair, maybe Omar
now?
Khan is Triple H.
Wow.
And then Weidel would be your Batista character. And
who's Randy Orton? Well, no, I think Tomlin's Batista because he's the heavy hitter there.
Yeah.
And then Weidel is Randy Orton. Can you imagine if Omar Khan got introduced at his next presser with, time to play the game? To finish up, I will say... You know, Colbert, you're talking about his Hall of Fame resume, but he did do the majority of his best work as far as two Super Bowl titles were built, and another appearance was still in many ways built on what he did early in his general manager tenure. And I do think that was a very, even then, when the pass game was starting to become in vogue, that was a different NFL. Like, in 2001, let's say, nobody blinked if you picked a running back in the first round. They're like, yeah, that's still something we do. Even most of the way through the 2000s, you pick like an Adrian Peterson or somebody, people are like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I do think the way teams have looked at the draft and have looked at how we build ourselves is completely different now than it was when Colbert took over. So I hope that there is a commensurate difference in how Khan runs things. But that wasn't my big takeaway. Mine was that he really tried hard to strike a this is going to be much closer to business as usual than not sort of tone. Earlier in the show today... And that was a quote that definitely caught me off guard, so much so that I had to basically ask again, so you're telling me Doug Whaley was the guy if they were going traditional GM? She said, yeah. That is her understanding, is he would have been their likely choice. Check out the BetMGM MLB podcast powered by BetQL. Ryan Horvat and Cody Decker bring you all the best information for all your baseball betting needs. Every Monday and Friday, the guys give out their best bets of the week along with many prop bets. Get the latest episodes on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's also 5:41. Time to get to Archie's and grab those famous wings for all baseball and playoff hockey games. Here is why what Brooks said right there to us has me somewhat optimistic, Donnie. What do we know about Doug Whaley? Well, a couple things. He's a 93.7 The Fan insider who appears on The Fan Morning Show every week. What do we also know about his work with The Fan Morning Show? Doug is opinionated. Doug is not afraid to say things that piss people off. Doug is not afraid to upset the Steelers' apple cart a little bit. Jack Ham couldn't play in this day and age in the NFL. Like, he is not afraid of a quote. Doug's been on with us. Doug is not afraid to tell you exactly what he thinks. And what else do we know? The Steelers don't particularly love it when people are firing off, takes and doing so publicly. Like, I think it's no coincidence that Omar Khan, in a press conference setting, very careful. Steelers like to manage the message. Every team does, right? So I put two and two together thusly. Doug Whaley, very opinionated about not only past Steelers, but the current iteration of the team. I'll be honest, if Doug's listening, Doug, I'm not saying this to offend you. I thought Doug's work with us was going to be a thing that precluded him from getting this job. I didn't even think he was going to get a second interview. Because frankly, I thought he'd go in there and, hey, Doug, what the hell? You've been ripping the hell out of us on the fan all the time. Why do we hear you on the radio just trashing us? Like being very, in their minds, trashing them. Like being very strong and direct in his criticisms of them. I think he had been critical at various points of multiple different aspects of the franchise. So, the fact that he actually not only made it through the first round of interviews, the fact that he also made it to the finals, and the fact that Brooke is telling us that in her understanding of the situation, if they had decided to go personnel man, he would have been the choice, that tells me one thing above all else, and this is a heartening thing to think about. That tells me that they actually do want new ideas here, Donnie. That tells me that they are not just paying lip service to the idea of new blood, paying lip service to the idea of we've got to get some change in here, we've got to start doing things differently to keep up with the way the NFL exists and with what matters in the league in 2021. It tells me that they actually, in addition to talking the talk, came very close to walking the walk. And it sounds to me like they just like the idea of having Khan plus a bunch of guys who could all help run maybe a very robust personnel department. There still are rumors, I think, out there that Whaley still might be brought on as a consultant in some sort of role. I heard that. I think there was a report out there when the Khan news broke, Donnie. Tell me if this one sounds familiar to you because I don't have the tweet pulled up. That, like, they think four of the six people who were finalists could end up with them in some capacity. Obviously, we know Brandon Hunt's not going to be there because he's now with Philly. That's being reported widely. But I had heard that they thought Doug Whaley would be a good fit for a job as a consultant. Some sort of, like an idea man, right? Like a guy, hey, Doug, we love the fact that you weren't just thinking, like, typical Steelers here. The old way of doing things, we want to pay you to think for us. We want to pay you to be a man of ideas. I like that. Further, like that was a moment that when Brooks said that, the old gears started turning, and I thought that actually gives me some hope that they're doing things the right way. Having said that, they still went with a very safe choice. They still went with Omar Khan. They still went with a structure of people underneath him that have, I mean, Doug has Pittsburgh ties, obviously. He's a Pittsburgh guy. They still didn't ultimately go through with it, which makes me wonder why they wouldn't have. Like, was there this thought in mind that if Doug comes in and he blew them away with the way he presented himself and presented his vision, that if you put him in the GM chair, you're going to get actual, like, headbutting going on him with Art Rooney, maybe. He's really trying to drag them into his vision. It might be one of those deals where, like, you hear a guy say a bunch of stuff about how he views a team's future, and you like it in small bits, but you don't like it when it's the wholesale, like, the whole deal.
Yeah, I could see there being some thoughts of that they wouldn't want him at the highest position because of the potential rebuttals and headbutting, but... I mean, based on what Brooks said, and I agree with you that I didn't think because of his opinions that
I thought he got himself taken out of that job.
Yeah, but
he made it. It sounds to me like
she made it very clear that they liked him a lot.
It sounds to me like it was Khan or Whaley. Like that was the decision. Khan and different people underneath him in the hierarchy and the power structure are Doug Whaley. That's encouraging. It's like you saying, after two rum and cokes that are really well made, I am clever, I am funny, I am Donnie Football's best version of himself. After 20, however, things might not look so good. That might have been the calculation they made for Doug. But that does, I will admit that that was like a ray of I'm not going to call it a ray of optimism because that suggests that I am like automatically down on the hire. I think the hire's okay. I think there's a lot of moving parts to be sorted out. It does, though, give me that ray of optimism that there is a – this specifically pertains to Art Rooney, that there is a base-level understanding on his part that while they will always toe that line of we are the Steelers, that means certain things, that always – there are pillars of we are the Steelers that are always going to be there, and we're going to constantly talk about them in a front-facing way, that they understand that you cannot proceed that way forever, indefinitely. That actually does that. That's where I come out on this, and that makes me feel better about it. So, other things that I took here, I just want to know. One thing Omar Khan did really well. I want to know what his cool little changes are. I want to be one of the people that's privy to it, just so I know. I wouldn't even need to say it publicly. He did a very good job of creating a weird amount of Omar Khan sizzle today, which is a realization that has only dawned on me just now. I got some cool little things I want to do. I kind of chuckled at that at first, and the longer I have thought about it and picked this apart, the more I want to know. What are the cool little things? Because if they're draft-related, that's good. If they are, we're never taking a running back in the first round under my watch ever again, that would also be good. What's weird is one of the things that people always talk about, like the teams that utilize the draft more in a more modern way, pick a ton of wide receivers, a ton of defensive backs, edge guys. They build sort of from the perimeter in, I guess. They build from the skill spots in. The one problem with that is the Steelers are so horrible at drafting and developing defensive backs. Like, you almost don't want them to get with the times with that one.
Yeah, and like, I think they've had such a good run. I mean, I know that people are a little bit worried about Chase Claypool. I mean, the talent's definitely there, and, you know, the same with Deontay Johnson, but they've had such a good run with wide receivers in the second round and on that I also am never really a fan of them picking one in the first round because
so I'm different
as
from
years
you there.
Go by, it seems like they have found a lot of good players in those later rounds.
You know, I hate admitting this, but I think you have to give Roethlisberger his flowers for the success some of those guys had here as later round picks. You have to.
Oh, no doubt.
What I would say, though, beyond the Roethlisberger element to all that success, and I think Kenny's going to be able to make – I'm a believer that Kenny's going to be able to make his wide receivers better. They're going to have to maybe help him at the start. And I think he and Pickens could grow into a very legit combo. I do think, though, if you want to get a – if you value having a game-breaking wide receiver, like a true, true, true number one now, I do think you're going to have to start drafting them in the first round. So I think teams have gotten wise to this. You're either going to have to make a blockbuster trade like Miami did to get Tyreek Hill, as long as Tua can actually throw the ball, you know, to him in stride and not have him overrun it. Or you're going to have to draft a Jamar Chase near the top or Justin Jefferson. Like, you're going to have to expend a big-time pick on it. I think they tried to hack that formula, though, with Pickens this year.